Sometimes, we don't mean it, but sometimes we can push the Lord out. We can crowd him out. And so during this time, we just don't want to do that. So we ask that you spend this time connecting with the Lord in prayer. If you don't know how to do that, maybe it's been a while. That's okay. There's a good little acronym I'll walk us through this morning. First is adoration. In other words, telling God how great he is. Even when things are bad, God is still good. Even when things are spiraling apart, God is still good. Even when there's more questions than answers, God is still good. So let's begin by just telling God how great he is. When was the last time you really talked to the Lord as your heavenly Father? And said, man, God, I am so glad you're my Father. Thank you for being a perfect heavenly Father. Next is confession. A, adoration. C, confession. Confess your sins. Then the T is thankfulness. Even though your wheelbarrow of cares might be just overrun right now, there is still something to be thankful for. It is no small thing that you woke up this morning and you were able to come and be here. That is no small thing, because there's a lot of people all over the country that couldn't do that because of illness or injury. So if you're having a hard time thanking the Lord, maybe just thank the Lord for the fact that you could come here this morning. God draws near a thankful heart. If you sensed a distance from the Lord lately in your walk, in your daily walk with the Lord, maybe it's a thankful issue. Now, maybe it's not, but maybe it's a thankful issue. Maybe this thankfulness will help the Lord draw near right now. And then final is the S, which is supplication. That means your requests. Scripture tells us to take our requests before the Lord. He is a Father who hears and can deliver. And he loves you enough to help you in your struggle. So whatever that list may be, just ask the Lord right now. Father, I want to thank you so much for this time to push the pause button and pray. Lord, this past week when we did wrong, Lord, we're sorry. Forgive us. Father, if we were able to do anything right, we give you all the praise and the glory for that. Thank you for the opportunity. Lord, when we failed to look at our neighbor and love them, we're more concerned about ourselves. Lord, help us to live other focused, Jesus, as you did when you were on this earth. Because that's what you did. You looked at others. You died for others. And Lord, I know in a room with this many people, there are folks carrying a wheelbarrow full of concerns and struggles. Father, I pray that you'd be with them. Do the miraculous in their life, Lord, that they need to move ahead. Lord, we believe you're an amazing, powerful God. We know that to be true. So do your powerful work in these people. And now, Holy Spirit, we declare our dependence on you to come and open our hearts and open our minds to Jesus, to your truth and to your way, not man's way and not my opinion for sure, but to your truth. So, Lord, please, Holy Spirit, come and open our hearts, open our minds, knit us together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And all God's people said? Amen. Amen. Great. Okay, where are Grace Kids today? Grace Kids, where are you? Woohoo! Let's tell them we love them. Absolutely. We are so thrilled to have our Grace Kids with us. And now they are going to go and get a lesson that they will absolutely love. That is awesome. Great, great, great. Well, a few weeks ago, we started a series through the book of John talking about miracles. And I've heard some chatter on that through the weeks. Some people have a hard time believing that God still does the miraculous today because our circumstances might not dictate that. Well, we're going to talk about that today in this particular miracle, to be sure. This one we're going to deal with today is in John chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 9. It's the longest miracle story we have. If you look at the seven miracles in the book of John, which are all the major miracles Jesus did, this one's the longest. Now, it's not the longest. It takes the entire chapter. John 9 is about this miracle. It's not the longest because it took Jesus that long to do a miracle. Hello. I mean, you know, the Lord created the earth and everything that is in 6 days, right? So Jesus can do a miracle in a second, in half a second. That wasn't the issue. If you look at John 9, what's interesting is most of it is caught up in dialogue from people who didn't like what Jesus did. Most of it were complainers from the bench. How many of you know that there are people on the bench always going to complain? Can I get an amen? Amen. And for those people, it's really good to just be deaf. Don't listen to it, man. But there are always going to be people jumping on Jesus for what he does. And sure enough, right here in John chapter 9, they do it. But there's four things I want us to look at real quickly today that give us some teaching and some understanding, I think, on how God does miracles, why he does miracles, and how those miracles may come into your life. So starting in John chapter 9, verse 1, the scripture says this. Now, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, now, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Then Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but look at this, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Well, the first thing we come to right here is God's apostles, Jesus' apostles, thought that there was a sin problem. Now, that wasn't unusual. Back in that day, if you were born with a physical handicap, blindness, lameness, whatever, if you were born with a mental handicap, I mean, you were nuts, or that's not in the Bible, but that's what, you know, there's nutty people running around all over, right? Or if you were born a little bit, you know, mentally nuts, or if you were born poor, they immediately thought that that was a punitive action from God, that you had done something wrong, your parents had done something wrong, your grandparents had done something wrong, so God is up there getting ready to zap you. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I know in this room with this many people, some of you were raised in churches where the image of God, maybe not directly, but indirectly, the image of God was he's this transcendental potentate up there waiting to zap you if you get out of line. Any of you know that kind of preaching and that kind of teaching? I mean, get out of line and watch God do the smackdown on you, right? And so we're sort of taught that God's up there just waiting to put the smackdown on you because that's what he's about. That just isn't true. Okay, God doesn't want to pay you back. He wants to get you back. God's not about smacking you down. He's about bringing you back. And that's always been the case. But there was a common theology 2,000 years ago in the Jewish culture that if you were blind, lame, poor, nuts, that somehow somebody sinned and God was out to get you. Now, isn't that interesting that we're not too far from that in the church today? How many, this again, don't raise your hands, but just think about it. How many of you have had bad things happen to you? Tragic things. You've gone into a period of time in your life, a season in your life, when nothing went right. I mean, you went into a season, if you walked out the door, you were going to fall off the sidewalk and twist your ankle. Anybody ever have those seasons? I mean, if you get in the car, don't drive, because you're going to get in a wreck. I mean, people are going to call across 6 lanes of traffic to hit you. I mean, you get into a season in your life when it seems like everything is going wrong. And the good godly friends that you have show up saying, well, you ready to repent? Obviously, you got something going on in your life because everything's falling apart. This is not unprecedented. You remember Job? Let's think about Job for a minute. You remember Job? Job, Scripture says Job was a righteous man. That means he walked right with God. He did what was right. He was an upright man. He had the favor of God. The devil said, yeah, well, here's the deal. You're protecting him. If you really let me get to him, he'll turn tail and run. It'll happen. So God removed his protection. The devil came in and just ripped things apart in Job's life. I mean, he lost his kids. He lost his in-laws. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. The only thing he was left with is a wife. And the only thing the wife could come up with is, Job, your life is so horrible, curse God and die. I mean, that's the only thing she could come up with. Curse God and die. Now, my wife has been mad at me a lot before. Any guys going to jump in here with me, right? All right? My wife has been mad. But she has never gone to the curse God and die route, okay? We've never gotten to that stage in anger, all right? So we've always sort of stopped a little bit shy of curse God and die, Terry. But here's the deal. So here's the deal. So Job, his whole life is falling apart. Everything's falling apart. His wife is like, then his friends show up. You know the story? His friends show up. Now, you would think if your buddies show up, I mean, they're going to build you up. They're going to encourage you. Oh, Job, it's not that bad. You know, you didn't really like that son anyway. You know, well, I mean, whatever. I mean, you know, you didn't like the in-laws. You didn't like their wives. You didn't like this. I mean, you know, you didn't really need all that money. It was just a burden to you anyway. God took it all. So, see, now you're poor. You don't have nothing to worry about, right? And so, I mean, you think they would try something. No. You know what they did? They showed up and said, what did you do to God that he's ripping you apart? I didn't do anything. There's this immediate assumption with some believers that if something bad is going on in your life, you deserve it. Can I clue you in on something that I learned? I'm 54. I mean, I'm not 64. I hope I get it to 64. But I'm 54. Let me tell you what I've gotten in 54 years. Life happens. Life happens. You can live well, you can honor God, you can do the right things, and your car is still going to break down. You can do all the right things, and in the middle of the night, your plumbing is going to spring a leak and flood your house. That has happened to me before, right? And I was asleep. I wasn't actively sinning at that point. Not, you know, so life just happens. You're going to get sick. Your family members are going to get sick. And as much as it is horrible, people that you love are going to pass. That is life. It happens. So Jesus and his apostles are walking by, and they see this guy who's blind. And immediately their brain went, uh-huh, he did something wrong. Let me just say this to you. You may be in a horrible situation right now with relationships, with job, with your health, with your economics, with your fight. It might be horrible. And you know what? It might not be your fault. It just might be life. Life happens. And you know, it's not anybody, but I want you to look at this. So that's the first thing. Now, the second thing that here in this first section that we see is, now Jesus answered and said, now, it was not this man who sinned or his parents, but now look at this, but God, listen, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. In other words, you might be sitting right where you are, experiencing just what you're experiencing, going through just what you're going through, so God can use you and do a miracle through you to be a blessing to others. Man, God might be setting you up for something so amazing you've never dreamed of in your life. I mean, listen, remember what miracles are about? Remember we started 4 weeks ago? Miracles are always about advancing the gospel, advancing God's truth, advancing the kingdom. It's not really about us at all. It's always about God getting the glory, God getting the credit, and his kingdom advancing. So you might be right in the situation you're in. Your kids might be right in the situation they're in. Man, your situation might be just like it is. So listen, so God can do the miraculous through you to advance his kingdom and to advance his truth. Now, how amazing would that be? I mean, think about it. You might be in the middle of the worst thing you've ever imagined in your life. But we're just days away, weeks away, maybe months away of God reaching in, doing something that only can be explained by him. And everybody who sees it is going to know that it's the Lord, and they're going to glorify God, and they're going to be open to his truth again. God does the miraculous, right? Always to advance the truth. And he might want to use you to do it. He absolutely might. So Jesus says here at the very beginning, hey, this is a setup. God has set this up so you can see the miraculous work of God and others can as well. I wonder how many of us would have the courage to pray this. Now, I don't know if I do, but you know. But I just wonder if you would. Lord, I'm in a horrible situation. But I accept it as from your hand. And Lord, I know I'm a little player in this thing because your kingdom, your will is a huge thing. I am a little player. So, Lord, please do something huge so others would know and others would see, regardless of what happens to me. Could we subordinate ourselves so much to the will of God that if we're not advanced, moved ahead, gotten better, we're okay if God advances his kingdom and we keep that little bitty part in the process? Now, I think when we get to that point, truly, really, honestly, in our hearts, I think we position ourselves to be used in an amazing way. So, these apostles are walking through. They see this guy. And Jesus basically says, God is setting him up to be used in a big way. Now, verse 6 and 7, look at this. Now, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, now, having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with his saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, now go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. The second thing we have to see about miracles as we study this is that miracles may have methods. Miracles may have methods involved. Now, could Jesus have just said to the guy, you're healed? Could he have done that? This means yes, this means no. This means I want to sleep 10 minutes ago. Right? All right. All right. So, you know, and I get all of those. I've been there. I've been in all three of those spots, okay, just so you know. All right. So could Jesus have just said, hey, you're healing? Sure he could have. Could he have remote healed the guy? He did it before, just a few chapters earlier. He remote healed the nobleman's son. The nobleman's son wasn't even there, and Jesus said, hey, before you get home, your son's going to be healed. And he was. But he used a method. Now, why did he use a method? He used a method so he was not going to be boxed in how he works. He is the true and living act of God. He isn't a program to be figured, a mathematical formula to come up with an answer. He is a living, truly living entity that we can have a relationship with that's not going to be constrained. And so in this situation, he uses a method. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spit on the ground. I'm going to put the salve type stuff on your eyes, and then you're going to go to this specific place, wash in this specific pool, and this specific thing's going to happen. It's a method. God uses methods today to bring miracles into your life. Let me tell you what they are. First, he uses medicine. I don't think when you go to the doctor, it means you have no faith. If you're listening to somebody on TV or radio that says, well, if you really had faith, you wouldn't have to go to the doctor. Okay, turn them off, they're crazy. If it's somebody you know personally, have them call me. I'll tell them they're crazy. Right? Because here's the deal. Jesus used a method. Medicine could be a method. Does God have to use it? No. Does he always use it? No. But does he sometimes use it? Yes. You know, I have some medical issues. I take my medicine. Not because I don't have faith that God can heal me, because I pray for healing every morning. But while I'm waiting for God to do the miraculous, I know he may do the miraculous through medicine. Because right here in the text of Scripture, he uses methods. Mud on the eyes, wash in a specific pond. That is a method. He could use medicine. I know what the people are saying who are out there saying, hey, look, just believe, just have faith, and God will heal you. I get what they're doing. I get it. And It's cool and it's noble in some ways, but here's the deal. It's not how God works all the time. It's not how God works all the time. Sometimes he's going to use medicine. He's going to use a method. Second, prayer is a method. Sometimes God's going to use prayer. Okay, But do you notice something with some of these miracles? People didn't pray. You ever think about that? Now track with me. Last week we talked about the guy, Peter and John, were walking in. He was sitting there lame. He said, hey, I need some silver. I need some gold. Give me some money. They said, we don't have silver and gold, but what we do have is the power of God. So rise up and walk. The guy didn't pray. You ever catch that? Sometimes God does the miraculous without you praying. Well, now, Terry, that's blasphemy because I heard so-and-so on TV or so-and-so on the radio. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Jesus did miracles in people's lives who didn't pray. Why? Because he's God and he can. But prayer is a method that God will use oftentimes to bring the miraculous, not just in health, in finances, in relationships, in restoration of friendships, and your car starting up. Hey, I have a car from the last century. Anybody with me? Every morning I pray a miracle. Lord. Engineers are smart, but they're not that smart, right? It's not meant to last this long. So do your deal, right? And it starts so far, right? I get it. God uses prayer, listen, not so God aligns with you, so you align with God. Do you ever pray the Lord's Prayer? I hope you do. I do. I hope thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you really pray that and mean it, you're not praying, my will be done, my kingdom be advanced, and God come help me do it. I need a construction partner here. You know, boom, come help me build my kingdom. That's not what the prayer means. It means, Lord, your kingdom's more important than mine. Your will's better than mine. And so align me with your kingdom and will, and I will be satisfied in my life. See, prayer moves us toward the Lord. It doesn't really move God toward us. It moves us toward him. Prayer is a process. Third process God uses sometimes in doing miracles, particularly in the area of health, is anointing with oil. He says in James, if any of you are sick, call for the elders of the church, let them come together and anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith so this sick might be healed. Now, that's what the Bible says. We do that here. We do that here because the Bible says to do it here. We don't set up a tent and pass the offering plate three times and make great claims. We simply do what the Bible says. If you're sick, call for the elders and we'll pray for you. Does that always mean you're going to be healed? No, because still it's ultimately up to God. But we're being obedient to what God's word says, and then we trust God for the results. Several months ago, we prayed for Eric. Eric struggles with mitochondrial disease. Most of you know that. We've been very open. He's been very open about that. His liver had shut down. If God didn't heal his liver, we were going to have big problems. Eric asked for the elders to come together, anoint him with oil, and pray for him, and guess what happened? God healed his liver. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah, absolutely. Eric was seeing doctors. He was taking medicine. He wasn't resigned to one method or another. We didn't know what God would use. We just obeyed what God said. And God brought a great healing to his life. Miracles sometimes come through methods. Sometimes the methods are other people. You might need a financial miracle. You might need a job miracle. You might need a relationship miracle. You might need a housing miracle, a car miracle. I don't know what it might be. But oftentimes God will, rather than just, you know, materializing a car in your driveway, I've never heard of that one, God will move on someone's heart and someone's life, and they will intersect with you, and they will, oh, you know what, I was getting ready to sell this car. I was only going to get X number of dollars for it. I don't really need it. I'm going to give it to you. You're saying that stuff really happens? Yeah. It really happens. It really happens. And that might be how God does a miracle in your life. But Jesus specifically used a method to tell us that he uses methods. He just doesn't always snap his fingers and it's done. He could, but he doesn't always do it that way. Then next, look at verses 13 to 17. I said earlier, the reason why this is so long is because people didn't like what Jesus did. There's always people out there that's not going to like what Jesus did. Look at verses 13 through 17. The Bible says this. Now they brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Now, y'all remember, this is at least the second time Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He should know the Jewish leaders don't like that. But Jesus doesn't work for them. Right? So the Pharisees again ask him how he received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and then I washed, and now I see. Now, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God. He does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? And there was division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? He said, he's a prophet. See, God does miracles by his design, not by man's. God is going to do the miraculous his way, not our way. And it's not going to look like things that we necessarily recognize. Jesus' problem was Jesus came to save humanity, not to prop up false beliefs. And the same is true today. Jesus will do the miraculous and do the amazing, and he isn't going to check in with the culture to see if it's okay. He's not going to check in and say, oh, is it okay for me to do this? He's not going to do it. All of us that have journeyed in church any time, now some of you are new to church and questioning the Lord and trying to figure out where you stand with all that. And that's cool, man. I'm glad you're on the journey. Welcome. Glad you're on the journey. But most of us sort of grew up in church and around church. And we remember that church used to be done a specific way, right? I mean, it had specific music, had specific order, had specific protocol. How many of y'all grew up in church with those type of things? Let's see. A lot of us grew up in church. Yeah, very specific. You came to church and you did this, you dressed like this. And that's just how it worked. But today, God is blessing and growing churches that do it different. They relate differently. The atmosphere is different. How people connect is different. One of the things we're going to be starting in the next probably month or two is an internet campus. We're going to be going to Facebook Live. We're going to be broadcasting and trying to get people to connect all over via Facebook Live. And then, of course, that'll be recorded and then they can connect afterwards. And I got to tell you, I'm a little bit slow to this game because, see, I come from the culture, and some of you do too, where, you know, you're not in church unless you're in the building, right? I mean, this is, you know, I was a Baptist. We cared about three things, right? We cared about budgets, buildings, and butts. I mean, that's what we cared about. We better have them all right here in this seat. I mean, and that was my culture. So if it wasn't here, I didn't understand it. But let me tell you what's happened. Now, we have a lot of people in this service that's younger, and they're going to say, gosh, Terry's old. And it's true, I am. So here's the deal. People under the age 30 don't use technology. They are technology. Technology is normal to them. Just like when we grew up, guys that are my age or older, driving a car was normal to us. You get 16, you get your license to drive a car. That was normal. Technology is just that normal to them. Connecting via the internet and not being in the room with each other is normal. That is how they connect. I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's good, but I think it's real. That is just how it works. And so, now, I still think that somebody needs to be sitting in a building with other people so when you struggle, somebody knows it and they can be a blessing to you and help you. I still think that's best. But in this culture, folks, if we're going to expand the gospel, we have to understand that there are now generations of people that don't view it like we do. Now, if Jesus wants to do the miraculous in advancing the gospel, we have to be willing to do it in a way where some people aren't going to get it. So we're going to have an internet campus. What's that going to look like? People are going to be able to log on when the service starts. We'll have somebody back there answering questions, and they'll be able to watch during the service and interact with somebody and ask questions. And I have a buddy of mine in Knoxville who does this. His church runs about 8,000 people. Ready for this? Almost 1,000 of them are on the internet campus. Well, Terry, that's not real. They give. They do online training. They log in. It is real. It is real to them. Now, am I going to be a part of an internet campus? No, I'm here. right? And when my days of preaching are done, I'm going to be sitting right there where y'all are. So that's how I do it. That's my culture. It's my culture. I'm going to be here. But guess what? There's generations now that's not their culture. So if we care about them, and we do, and we want the gospel to reach them, and we do, guess what? We've got to reach them the way we can. And we're going to do that through an internet campus. And you know what? Some of you are going to use it. Oh, no, no, not going to do it. Yeah, you are. You're going to be on vacation on the beach. You'll be vacation in the mountains. You're going to wake up on Sunday morning feeling like a slug. All right? Because you've been doing nothing. And God's going to say, you know what? I need to connect. So you're going to log on to Grace Fellowship. Boom, boom, boom. You're going to click, and you're going to join us live in process. And God's going to bless you, speak to you, and you're going to grow. But you see, when Jesus does miracles, he does them by God's design, not by man's. And that's sort of where we're going. Next, you know, God may call you to do something incredibly different with your life so he could do the miraculous in you, with you, and through you. And there will be people around you saying, well, that's not the Lord. You've gone crazy. But you'll know if God speaks to you or not. So, listen, some of you are waiting for that step right now. God has said to you, you need to take this step. It might be baptism. Some of you haven't been baptized yet. You need to get baptized. It might be baptism. It might be becoming a partner here at Grace. It might be finding your ministry spot, right? It might be inviting your neighbor to church. It might be a million different things. But God's going to call you out of your comfort into that place to do something great for the kingdom of God. Then finally, everybody's going to fuss and fight. Everybody's going to question. A lot of people aren't going to like it. You know, it's funny, isn't it? You drive by some churches and they're filled in, and I know there's Christians who say this. You drive by churches and they're filled. You know what some Christians say? They're liberals. They're a bunch of liberals. You cannot pack that church preaching the gospel of Jesus. They're a bunch of liberals. You're saying, people don't really say that. Oh, yeah, they do. They've said it about me. No, I don't care. But they've said it. Well, they don't preach the Bible. They don't preach the Bible, because if you preach the Bible, people aren't going to come to church like that. That's what they say. Because, listen, because we don't do it their way, they take a shot. And that's just man. Here's another thing. God's going to do something great in your life this week, this month, this year. I pray for you every day. I'm telling you, God's going to do it. He's going to do something amazing. And there will be people around you, rather than cheerleading with you, they're going to take a shot at you saying, well, that's just typically not how God does that. That's just not how it works. Man, fire those people from your life. I'm serious. Can I give you some advice? Fire them. You don't need them. Listen, I'm 54 and I am perfectly imperfect. Anybody perfectly imperfect? Anybody? I am perfectly imperfect. And the last thing I need is somebody who's going to scream my imperfections from the mountaintop. I get it. I know it. I live with it. I need somebody who's going to say, you're right, Terry. You're messed up. But guess what? God's bigger than you and your future's better than your past. Get on with it. Fire the people who, when God does a work in your life, want to criticize it. They do not have your best interest in mind, and they do not have the kingdom of God in mind. They just don't. They just don't. So these people came to get this poor guy who was blind, but now he sees. And the Pharisees pulled him in and grilled him. Now, the last point I want us to see is he's brought in a second time, and they're grilling him over what Jesus did in his life. Look at verse 25. Well, look at verse 24. It says, now for a second time they called the man in who had been blind and said to him, now give glory to God. We know that this man, talking about Jesus, is a sinner. So here's what they say. Because Jesus didn't do it their way, he healed on the Sabbath, they know he's a sinner. They just know it. They know that he's a sinner. They know he's done bad things. And they're saying, so just renounce. Here's what they're saying. You ready? Renounce what Jesus did, give glory to God, and you'll be okay. They're wanting a fight. It sounds like picking a fight to me. Anybody with me? That sounds like they're picking a fight. I want you to look at this guy's response. It is beautiful. Look at this. Now he answered and said, now whether he is a sinner, I don't know. But the one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. You know, I don't know how God's going to work in your life. But here's what I know from this text. Here's what's true. Are you ready? He may not do it in a conventional way. He may use a method. That's other people. That's medicine. That's a process. He may use a method. He might just not snap his fingers and it happens. Okay? So that may happen. People are going to take shots at you. Okay? People are going to take shots at you. And here's advice from God's word. Depend, rely, and celebrate what Jesus does, not what people say. If the Lord does something great in your life, celebrate it. Well, but Terry, you don't know. I've been friends with Susie and Bob, and man, they think, you know, I prayed and God healed me. They just don't think that's possible. Fire them. Man, I'm in this horrible situation and everything's falling apart and I think it's sin in my life. Have you prayed? Have you confessed? Yeah, well, then it's forgotten. It's not sin in your life. Yeah, but I was listening to so-and-so on TV. Change the channel. Change it. Rely on the truth of God's word, which says God may be setting you up for an amazing miracle. God may not do it the way he's always done it before. And there's going to be people that attack you. But listen, listen. Jesus is enough. Trust him. Depend on him. And whatever you're facing, you'll get through. Know this as we close. You are loved by your Heavenly Father. He wants to do the miraculous in your life. He doesn't always do it the way we would like him to. Because he's God, he can do it like he chooses. But he will work in your life. Pray, seek the Lord, and celebrate what God does. And you will move to another level. And God will bless you in amazing ways. Amen? Amen. Pray with me if you will. As we go to the Lord in prayer, let me just mention to you that God hears your cries and God hears and sees your hurts. But sometimes he wants us to pray, right? So if you're here today and you need the Lord to touch you in an area of your health, your finances, job, relationship, if you need something above the natural to happen in your life, or if you need God to control the natural to get you someplace else, you need something better, just lift up your hand right now. God, I need a miracle. I need you to work in my life. I need something going on in my life, something good. All right, amen, amen. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. Second, how many of you would say, Terry, I know about the Lord, but I don't know the Lord? I mean, I can answer some Jeopardy questions and all that kind of stuff, but I really don't know the Lord personally. I've been playing around at this thing for too long. If that's you today, here's what I want you to do. Just if God's calling you, if God is calling you, if God is awakening faith in your heart, here's what I want you to do. Just right there where you pray, just say, hey, Lord, it's me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I am a sinner. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you resurrected from the grave. And right now I place my faith and trust in you alone for salvation. Please change my heart and change my life as I surrender myself to you. If you prayed that prayer or something like that prayer for the first time, the count of three, just slip up your hand. One, two, three, just slip up your hand. Anybody in the room? Anybody? Anybody? Okay. Second, some of you have trusted the Lord, but you've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And that's put a lid on your life, on your spiritual growth. If you're here today and you've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism, and you would like me to pray for you, that you would take that step. Maybe you're not ready to take that step today, but you know you need to. Just lift up your hand. Say, Terry, I know I need to get baptized. I just need some help. Yeah, I see a couple of you, okay? Great. Father, you've seen the hands and the hearts of those who need a miraculous work. We know you could do it because you're God. So we ask you to do it. Lord, we don't prescribe to you any methodology or how to. You're God. We just trust you to do it. And Lord, there are those here who are still struggling with the questions of salvation. Would you please help them answer their questions? And then, Father, there are those who need to take the step of baptism. Lord, would you speak to their heart and encourage them to do that? Father, thank you for allowing us to be together. Thank you, Lord, that you do the miraculous. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Ushers, come on forward real quickly. Ryan, come on up. Ushers are coming forward. We give here at Grace for two reasons. Because Jesus is Lord, and the gospel is the most important message in the world. If you're a guest today, the only thing we want from you is this little card right here. If you could fill it out, drop it in the offering plate. We'd love to have a record of your visit. On the back, partners, regular attenders, and visitors, don't forget, this is how we pray for you. So please, 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 please fill this out so we know how to pray for you. If you can't get it filled out in time to put it in the plate, we have boxes as you exit. Please put this in the box so we can pray for you, because we will pray for you often throughout the week. We sure will. Let's pray. Father, as we receive our tithes and offerings and our prayer requests, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of giving and of being in a church where people really do pray for one another. It's your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. A couple of quick announcements for you. This week, Wednesday, for those of you who don't know, is Valentine's Day. So, husbands, just go ahead and put that on the calendar, okay? We are doing an amazing thing on Saturday night for our students. If you've never been a part of it, I would invite you to come and join us for Te Amo. That is our Valentine's dinner that we do here for the youth. Serve it. We cook it. They set up the plates. They serve. They decorate. They do everything. Washing dishes. We turn our gym into a full-blown restaurant. It's absolutely amazing. People every year go, we should do this next weekend. And I go, yes, no, next year. Because it does undertake a lot. The kids enjoy it. They have an amazing time. But it helps us raise money for camp, which this year we're looking at going to a mission camp, which will be kind of a cool idea for us to go and serve and stuff. But the cost is $20 per person, or I have a special going on just for today. It's $20 for a person or $40 for a couple. So what you can do, I have a deal for you, and that's the math teacher in me. When service is over, Abby, my oldest, will be in the back. She's got my iPad. She'll be making reservations. We have three seatings this year. We have a 4:30, a 5:30, and a 6:30. So if you're like Pastor Terry, who likes to eat early and go to bed by 6, come at 4:30. If you're like us and you can't eat till 7:30, you know, get here at 6:30, and we'll feed you at 6:30, and we'll have a great time that night. But live music, we'll have an amazing time. Steaks, baked potatoes, salad, dessert, everything is catered. It's an amazing time. So come and be a part of that with us. But you can see Abby at the back. If you don't have your checkbook or cash with you, there's a cool little thing in here that you can text Grace Palatka to this you know, number in here. It takes you to a website, and you can click and actually give your offering, or in this case, your reservation money for Te Amo that direction with your debit card as well. Also, Wednesday night is, like usual, children's stuff. We've got youth stuff. We've got adult stuff going on. The meal this week is an amazing Valentine's meal of steak as well, but it's tube steak covered with chili. So nothing says I love you like a chili cheese dog. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to have a great time Wednesday night. Then the following weekend is our shape class. We'll have shape going on up here. For those of you who are like, what is shape? It doesn't mean your shape. It means how God has created you, how he has shaped you for ministry. If you're looking for what is that next step in my life, what is it that God has created me for, then I want to encourage you, teenagers, I want to encourage you adults, come to the shape class. Sign up for that, register for it. We will feed you. But it'll be a great time looking at your spiritual gifts, your abilities, your heart, your passion, your experiences. How has God shaped you for ministry? You can see my wife, Jennifer, over here if you got any questions on the shape stuff. Tonight, life groups. Don't forget, life groups are happening tonight. Pastor Terry, what are you all eating?
Food.
Food. Okay, good.
Food at my house. So just bring food.
Yeah, I got a text while you were preaching from my daughter, Hannah, saying, Dad, what's for lunch? And I said, food.
There you go.
To which I get back, great. I'm glad you didn't say trash. So food at Pastor Terry's house. If you want to be involved in a life group, check with my wife. I think that's it. I'm golden.
Good. Great. Thanks. Hey, stand with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. As we are doing that, let me mention just one quick thing. Our church advances the gospel one way, through you. As you invest and invite in your friends and bring them to church with you, that's how our church grows. That's how we do it. We don't have plans B, C, D, E, and F. We don't do door knocking, phone calling, mass email, billboards. We don't do any of that. We believe that you, as you follow the Lord, as you hear from the Lord, as you invest and reach out to those around you, God will fill this place time and time and time again. Our first service is going great. I want to keep that in front of you. It's at 9:20, so as your life gets busy, know that that's an option for you. But we really encourage you, invest and invite. Next week, we will land the plane on miracles. We will be a little bit late, but then we're going to be starting our Lent series, and it's called Surrender. Here's what we know. You have to give up to go up. In every area of life, you have to give up to go up. If you want to do it relationship, if you want to do it with your finances, if you want to do it in any area of your life, you have to give up to go up. And we want to help you with that. So it's going to be an exciting several weeks there as we get ready and move toward Easter. Please, please, please be invested and inviting. And let's see what God will do through you, because I'm sure it's going to be great things. Let's pray together. Well, Father, we love you and we thank you for today. And now, Lord, as we leave, we humbly ask, Lord, that you be with us and that you use us for your greatness and for your glory. Father, for those who are experiencing really bad times, I pray that you'd be near to them, that you would tend to their heart and to their soul, to their circumstances. Father, let them know that you're a loving God that never leaves them nor forsakes them. Father, there'll be people around us this week that just need some kindness. Maybe an invitation to church is all they need for their life to change forever. Help us to be those kind of people. Lord, and also, when we fail you this week, when we stumble, help us to get up and help us to do well. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.